Shabbat Shalom. There are some texts in Torah portions, like the one that we read this week, that many of us would rather skip. We read, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Avenge the Israelite people on the Midianites. You shall dispatch on the campaign 1,000 from every one of the tribes of Israel. So 1,000 from each tribe were furnished from the divisions of Israel, 12,000 picked for the campaign. They took to the field against Midian, as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they slew every male. And they destroyed by fire all the towns in which they were settled and their encampments. The text goes so against our sensibilities of what is right and good that many of us would rather just move on to the next place that has resonance for us. What do we do with uncomfortable texts in Torah? What do we do with a narrative that does not resonate with our values? Some people find these texts so alienating that they turn away from aspects of Jewish life. A friend went to Kol Nidre services last year for the first time. She had been born into a family that considered itself culturally Jewish, and though she had a strong sense of her Jewish identity, she stayed away from rituals or prayer services for many years. She agreed to attend Kol Nidre services as a sort of favor to her daughter, who did not want to go alone. However, she describes being shocked at the streams of tears that fell from her eyes as she sat through the service. She had not expected to feel so moved by the liturgy, the music, and the words that seemed to push down the barriers that she had put up around any religious ritual of Judaism. She had not expected to feel overwhelmed by what she had missed all of the years that she had stayed away, by a feeling of loss. Her emotional response was as if she was seeing a beloved family member after many years of separation. In her professional life, she is a respected scholar of literature. And as so much of the canon of classical literature uses biblical symbolism, I was surprised to find out that she had never read the Bible, until I learned why. As a young girl, she had learned the story of the Akedah, in which Abraham is called by God to sacrifice his son. In this tale, Abraham answers God's call, but is stopped by an angel at the last minute, keeping him from sacrificing Isaac. The story of the Akedah represents a part of Jewish heritage that she wanted to reject. She was so disturbed by this story that it became something of a roadblock to her entry into a world of Jewish narratives. The truth is that this story represents something of a roadblock for many of us and leaves many of us perplexed. So again, I ask, what do we do with a narrative that doesn't fit our ideals? Should we toss it out, make it irrelevant? It's an ancient text that cannot be useful to our enlightened, contemporary sensibilities. Jewish sources, both modern and ancient, offer us a number of strategies for dealing with uncomfortable texts and stories in the Torah. And I'd like to speak about them tonight. First, understanding the historical context. The biblical audience would have understood text very differently than us. This week's particular story of the war waged on the Midianites would have been important to the biblical audience as a response to the Midianites' role in trying to curse and annihilate the Israelites, which we read a few weeks back in our Torah portion. It would have also provided a kind of prehistory of strife between two peoples as backgrounds for the battles fought between the Israelites and the Midianites during the settlement in the land. We can argue that this text functions as a military history that is not so relevant beyond scholarship, and we might even question its authenticity. Do we believe it as a historical fact? Could the Israelites have conquered the Midianites without a single casualty? If it wasn't an authentic historical event, it might convince us even more that it was a text that belonged to the audience of its time, that this story was written to shore up the confidence of a downtrodden biblical audience, looking for narratives about wars easily won against threatening enemies. In summation, this first strategy is one in which we relate to a difficult narrative as either a piece of history or a legend or a kind of thing that was in place for the biblical audience. I think of this as, this is not for me, it was for them. It is no longer relevant. This strategy contrasts with a second approach used to deal with uncomfortable biblical narratives. And this is the ignore what's uncomfortable approach, and instead focus on what we can relate to. I'd be willing to bet we can find a few uncontroversial nuggets that we can easily feel good about and cling to as our central teachings in this very Torah portion of this week. But if we do this, we are not honoring the essence of the Torah and all that it contains. It is not a soft book of whitewashed fairy tales. It is the redemptive and gorgeous, but also messy and challenging work that has held our people together for centuries. So, let's look at a different strategy for dealing with this text, and that is to read the text as a relatable analogy. Some sources interpret the war waged on the Midianites as an analogy for ridding ourselves of things in our lives that cause us harm. It sounds something like this. Just as the Israelites needed to wipe away the Midianites, sometimes we are in circumstances when we need to make big changes in our lives, when we are engaging in unhealthy behavior or relationships from which we need to totally separate ourselves. Wrenching ourselves away can be messy and painful. Think about a person leaving an abusive marriage. Think about an alcoholic giving up drinking. Breaking from negative patterns or relationships is too often very painful. And yet, the need to start anew can be strong enough to give us the courage and might to push through into a new time. In this way, the Torah text becomes a kind of metaphor in which we tease out a hidden and spiritual teaching. Our sages found ways of finding both immediate and hidden understandings of Torah. They even had an acronym for this, Pardes. Pei, the Peshat, for a straight-up surface reading. We can relate this to treating the story of the Midianite conquest as purely a historical retelling. Resh, Remes, represents a hint of a deeper meaning. We use this sort of strategy when speaking about finding a verse or two, a nugget of meaning within the text. Dalet, Drash, seeking the midrashic or homiletic teaching, we use this strategy when looking at the text as a kind of analogy for clearing up destructive forces in our own lives. And finally, samech, for sod, a hidden secret that only wrestling with the text can bring out. The acronym Pardes is a word that means orchard, and in it lies the suggestion that Torah is a fruitful place for discovery, discussion, dissent, and wrestling. So what does it mean to wrestle with the text? How do we intentionally engage with that which we might find repulsive? Let's look back at this week's parsha. We read, "Avenge the Israelite people on the Midianites, and then you shall be gathered to your kin. You shall dispatch on the campaign 1,000 from every one of the tribes of Israel. And they destroyed by fire all of the towns in which they were settled, and their encampments." Vengeance. Murder. When we read this text, we might think, this is brutal and heartless. But the text holds up a mirror to us and what we are capable of. Torah means teaching. And in this case, the Torah is teaching us about the darker side of humanity that can wreak destruction if left unchecked. It is hard to read. Like when we read about people doing heinous crimes in the news, we say to ourselves, that person is nothing like me. Yet that person is a part of humanity and we are all connected on a continuum of possible human actions and expressions of self and emotion. When we wrestle with these passages, we gain an awareness. There is a knowledge we'd rather deny. We too can act abhorrently. We human beings are capable of inflicting pain and suffering, and too often we do so. It is why on Yom Kippur in our liturgy, all of our sins are written on behalf of the whole community. There are many things listed that we have not done personally, but we are collectively capable of: murder, adultery, thievery, dishonesty, and so on. In a few weeks, we are going to be observing Tisha B'Av, the lowest point of our Jewish year. It is a day of mourning when we recall atrocities that befell the Jewish people. The sages say that the destruction of the temple happened because of sinat chinam, baseless hatred and fighting one against the other. Just like our Torah portion, Tisha B'Av reminds us of what can happen when violent impulses lead the way. We are not immune. This is what the Hasidic master Yitav Lev meant when saying, "I have heard a story about a righteous man who saw a soldier coming back victorious from battle. The soldier was proud and overjoyed. The righteous man said to him, 'You may feel victorious because of this battle. However, you have a much more serious battle which you are facing that we all share, and that is the battle against the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination.'" So while we would prefer to skip difficult texts in the Torah, such as the one we have this week, if we skip over what is most violent, painful, or repulsive to us, we are denying the truth of human experience. The Torah refuses to turn away from the more difficult truths, just as we cannot turn away from the aspects of contemporary society that make us uncomfortable if we want to have any chance in rectifying them. In wrestling with these ancient texts, we are able to glean lessons that aren't easy, but can speak to us on a deep level about the kind of extremes we are capable of, and in doing so, help us to continually strive to rise above. Shabbat Shalom.